A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hello, dear listeners, and welcome back to Owning It, the Anxiety Podcast, with me, your host, Caroline Foran. So last week I went to London on a little trip and I got to sit down with some amazing people to chat about anxiety. And the first interview I want to share with you guys from that trip is the amazing Vogue Williams. I think I could just say Vogue. She probably doesn't need to have her surname because you just know who she is. Vogue has always been an inspiration of mine. She's a really lovely girl, incredibly down to earth in an industry that's often not down to earth. And she has worked on really brilliant documentaries on anxiety, and she talks about it openly all the time, which for me, before I started experiencing it and before I started talking about it with you guys, she was a source of comfort for me and making me feel like I wasn't the only one or I wasn't gone mad. So I was delighted to get the time to sit down with her and chat about how it felt for her and kind of swap our stories and compare things. So I went to her house in Battersea in London and I met baby Theodore, and he was so cute, and I met Spencer, and they are as beautiful a family inside and out as you could imagine, as they come across on social media, and what you see is very much what you get. So with Vogue, we talk about sort of when her anxiety triggered for her, a lot about a really bad breakup a couple of years back that brought it all to a halt for her. And then we touch on medication, we talk about worrying about what other people think about you, loads of stuff in there, and I really hope you enjoy it. But do be mindful of the fact that we were joined by Winnie the dog, Winston, and he was sitting on my lap and he was licking me quite a lot, which of course I was delighted about. So there is sometimes a bit of a weird sound, and that's just him rubbing off me. So I hope you enjoy it. Really looking forward to hearing back from you, and if you could share the love on social media, and of course subscribe and review. It always means the world to me. Thank you so much. Let's go back to the very beginning. You've made a documentary about anxiety, you've been very open about it on social media. Do you think that you've always been an anxious person, or was there something that triggered it for you?
I think it's definitely something that triggered it. I never had it before. My boyfriend suffered quite badly from it, and I went out with him for 6 years from when I was like 20. And he's found his own way to combat it only now. Like last year he figured out a way, but when I was with him he was a very anxious person. I kind of never really understood it. And then when I was like 20, I'd say about 22 is when I started kind of feeling it. And from then, I was only just saying this to my friend yesterday. She was texting me because she was second guessing herself over something, and she was making herself anxious over something in college. And I was like, that's totally just anxiety. It's just such an annoying thing to have. And it's something that yesterday I was like, like, why do I have it? I just hate having it. And if you could get rid of it, it would be the best thing in the world. But I personally don't think that you can get rid of it. I think that you have to manage it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that was the biggest learning curve for me, was realizing that, you know, I was looking at all these things online and reading these things and I did this thing and it cured my anxiety. And then I would try it and it wouldn't work. And I'd be like, what the fuck's wrong with me? And it's just a stress response. And we all have one. And anxiety is like an extension of that stress response. And some of us feel it and some of us don't. So it's a very normal thing and we can't have a life without it. But it, like, yeah, you're right. It's about managing it. Or, as to quote myself, it's about owning it.
I do love that though. Just own it. Just you have anxiety, just own it and deal with it in your own way. But there are, I think there's a million different ways to own it and to deal with it.
How did it feel for you? So, like, was it anxious thoughts or just sort of feeling overwhelmed? Or for me, it can be a very sort of physical feeling.
Yeah, mine's very physical. So it would be in my stomach. I wouldn't be able to sleep. I couldn't eat. And then because you don't sleep, the next day you feel even worse and you're more anxious. And it's kind of like, it just keeps rolling and rolling. So when I had it at my worst would have been maybe three, four years ago, going through a breakup. And all the things that went with that just made it absolutely spiral. And there was one summer that I was just like, I was an anxious wreck. Like, I was so upset all the time. I couldn't sleep properly for a whole summer. I couldn't eat. I'd lost loads of weight. And I just constantly had this feeling of absolute fear in my stomach. I never didn't have the whole butterflies in my stomach, but like, not a nice butterfly. It's a painful feeling. And like, even when I sit, I sometimes have to remind myself to stop clenching my hands, or like my shoulders are up. And like, that's another way that anxiety manifests in me. Like, I really close up. The worst is just the feeling of absolute dread, the feeling of fear, and like, you just cannot get rid of it. I kind of thought I'd gotten rid of it when I was pregnant, because I didn't have it so bad. And Winnie, stop being an absolute freak.
It's okay.
Stop licking too much.
My dog just does this all the time, so don't worry. You're okay.
Ew. He licks his Winnie,
Caroline. My dog licks my tongue. So I just sometimes I forget that my mouth's still open. I'm like, you're not a baby, you're an animal. So don't
Winnie
worry.
Winnie doesn't get to even sleep in our bed anymore.
Oh, really? No. Oh, yeah, I suppose you can't really with Theodore.
No, stinky. But when I had it, so I had it really bad back then. And then when I was pregnant, I kind of, it wasn't so bad. And I think that for me, I realized that not drinking is a big help. So last night I had a few drinks, so I will feel anxious today. I'll probably feel anxious tomorrow. But like, that's why I drink like maybe once a month, once every 2 months, because I was doing it every weekend. And then I was just feeling like horrific for 3 days of the week. And it was just down to that.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'll have a drink because it takes the edge off, and it's sort of therapeutic in a small dose at the time. Like, you know, if you have a glass of wine, you just feel like it takes the edge off. But then obviously if you have a few, then the next day it's like a short term relief, but a long term making it actually more of an issue.
Yeah, 100%. If I would say to anyone, if they are going through bad anxiety, do not drink alcohol.
Yeah, just cut
because
out.
It's just, you cut out caffeine.
Yeah.
I go to the, like, I don't need to go to the gym as much as I do. I go to the gym 5-6 times a week, but I feel like if I don't go to the gym, that my anxiety will just come back and be worse. And I do feel better on days that I go to the gym, because it's kind of like a stress relief. I do have a really, really busy, really hectic lifestyle. And that is like my hour off during the day to just think about nothing except getting my endorphins up.
Yeah. And did you ever have an isolated panic attack that you could feel like, whoa, this is a moment I'm having, and then it would sort of calm down? Or was it more just a wave of anxiety?
I had waves of anxiety, but I did actually have panic attacks. And now that you say that, I actually had a panic attack when I was pregnant. So I had two when I was pregnant. So maybe my anxiety did not go when I was pregnant. But mine is mainly just that horrible feeling in your stomach, clenched up, not able to eat, just feeling so nervous. I'm quite a jumpy person as well, and I kind of put that down to my anxiety. Like, people, if I walk into a room and someone's there and I wasn't expecting to be there, I get like the biggest fright ever. Or if anyone like makes like a quick hand movement around me, I might jump back and stuff like that. And I think that that's down to anxiety as well.
And do you like to be sort of in control of things, like know what your plans are? Or do you have, I suppose the nature of your work, and to a smaller extent the nature of my work, is you can't really be in control and know what's happening when, you know, so does that suit, or does that sort of
I'm a big planner. So okay. Like, I know what I'm doing for the next 3 weeks. And like, if other jobs come in, that's fine. But I have everything planned out for the next 3 weeks. But especially now with Theodore around, like my whole work life has to be different. I have to make room for him in every part of my day, because I won't go a day where I won't at least do the mornings with him, or I won't put him to bed or something like that. But with my job, you don't really know what you're going to be doing next, but I do to a point. So I don't mind when I know at least a week in advance, because I have to be really organized.
Mm. Do you feel being in the media and we're in more kind of creative industries, like most people who I've talked to so far are in this doing like freelance bits and bobs here and there, and it's very creative. Do you think that as creative people, we're more maybe susceptible to it?
I'm not really sure. I think, to be honest, I think it can just get anyone. And I think that some people probably don't even know that they have anxiety. They just have this feeling and they can't really put their finger on what it is. I think our industry, I don't know if it adds to your anxiety. I think certainly social media adds to anyone's anxiety. And I think that I worry about children growing up with social media, and Theodore having to grow up with all that. Like, it's just extra judgment on you all the time. And I think that definitely can add to your anxiety. And I know if I'm on my phone way too much, I'm just like, I'm not myself. Like, I try to check my screen time now because it's like over the top some days.
Yeah, it's kind of a blessing and a curse, because the phone is, or Instagram anyway, is such a part of work. And it's actually also part of how we make money. But it's also feeding, like, if I'm just constantly picking up the phone, like last night I had to literally just turn it off and put it like out of my hand's reach so that I could even just sitting down and watching Netflix was like a therapeutic thing to do, because I was just so like clicky clacky.
Yeah.
But so it's kind of hard, because you can't live without it.
No, you need to have it. That's the thing. Social media is definitely is a huge part of my career. I mean, I can't do a contract without social media being involved in it.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it's turned out. But like, I found that social media can be quite a nice place as well. So for the most part, particularly since becoming a mom, I found such a nice group of online people that like want to talk about families and want to like tell me about their children. And I put things up with Theodore and it's nice like that. But
did you also get opened up to a bit of, I remember you were saying to me before about anything that you do as a mother is open to critique, because people have certain ways of doing it. How do you handle that kind of thing? Because obviously you put it out there and you are in control of choosing to put it out there, but there will be people who are just wankers.
Yeah.
So what, like, how did that make you feel, or what did you experience?
I just think that, like, for the most part, it is lovely, but then you do have people just pushing their opinions on you and telling you should be doing this, you should be doing that. But, like, genuinely, I know that I'm a really good mother, and I know that what I'm doing with Theodore is right, and that he's happy and I'm happy, and it really works for our family. So I kind of just take what people say with a pinch of salt, because you could constantly listen to that crap. And if you take anything like that on board, you'll just end up upsetting yourself. And I think that the only opinions that matter to me are that of my family and my friends. And that's the way I've learned that kind of off Spencer, because he literally does not give a shit what people say about him. Like anyone that he doesn't know that says stuff about him, he doesn't care. And I kind of took that off him, because it just makes you lead a more positive, happy life if you're not constantly listening to what people say about you. Because, like, I mean, if I read all the Daily Mail comments, which I can't help myself, and I do end up reading some of them, you'd feel fucking awful about yourself. Mm. And you really do. You're like, oh my God, like, that flaw that I know I have is being pointed out by 200 people, and they're all talking about it. So, like, you just focus in on that, and you can feel really shitty about yourself. So I try to not listen to what anyone says, basically.
And you were saying before we recorded that you felt a little bit of anxiety when the E4 show came out.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I loved it, and everyone I spoke to loved it. And not only was it enjoyable, it was really like enlightening and just reassuring for people to see you just be normal, as you've always have been on your social media. But I think particularly to watch Spencer, who everyone would have known from Made in Chelsea, which I never actually watched.
That's probably a good thing. I don't know if we'd be together if I watched it.
But what I found just so, and I messaged you on Instagram about this, found so great about that, was that he was willing to put himself in situations like the singing, or he was trying different things that he was necessarily
good at. Laughing at his audition.
But it was so great that he was willing to put himself out there and be vulnerable and not give a shit what people think. So that was, it was just, I thought it was really important, because reality TV like has I think sometimes loses the element of reality,
yeah,
and becomes super scripted.
Well, a lot of it is scripted and a lot of it is set up. And when we were approached to do the show, our one thing was we just wanted to be as real as possible about us. We don't want all these drama situations set up because that's not us. And
yeah,
if you're looking for a drama filled show, we're not the ones to be putting on TV. So they were kind of happy with our relationship and they knew that the way we worked, and we'd had loads of meetings about it. And just before the show was coming out, I did get really bad anxiety because I was like, oh my God, I've watched the show. That's us. That's how we are. I was like, if nobody likes the show, they just don't like us. Like, there's nothing, there's no hiding behind anything. But when it came out and the response was so positive, we were just absolutely delighted. And I think particularly with Spencer, people have preconceived conceptions of him, and that's actually not the person he is. Like, he was on a TV show, he was 20.
Yeah.
Somewhat playing a character, and now people can see the real Spencer and what he's actually like. And I think with that especially, it's nice for people to see.
It's really nice to see people who are in the public eye, who maybe on Instagram appear to have it all, and people might say, oh sure, you know, what have you ever got to be stressed about or worried about? It's great to see you be vulnerable. And I think more and more, like, I'm on a much, much smaller scale, you know, I put my vulnerability out there, and people really appreciate that you're not trying to put out perfection. And I think, you know, it's obviously up to you what you put out there and what you don't. And obviously, you know, sometimes I would put up pictures and I'm like glammed up to the nines and I feel great, but I'll also be no makeup on and be myself and say like, oh, I'm a bit overwhelmed today. And I think people just appreciate that you do that so much because you make them feel like they're less on their own.
Yeah, well, I think Instagram is just an extension of our day. I mean, you do, but the thing about Instagram and all that stuff, you do put up like nicer parts of your day. If I'm sitting there crying over something, I wouldn't post that on Instagram because like, you're in a moment, you just have snapshots of your life, and I like putting that up, and I am really honest on my social media. But I think it's super important to be that honest. And when you see people like completely altering their picture, or you meet somebody in real life and it's like, who are you? Like, I've actually met people and I'm like,
that's not what you look like.
Oh my God. Like, I totally don't recognize you from your Instagram.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of sad that people feel the need to do that. But also it's unrealistic for other people and young people looking up to that. I don't think it's a good way to be. And I think that you should just be yourself, and people do appreciate that. They appreciate honesty.
Did you ever feel like fear about the fact that you're feeling anxious? Because for me, that was a big thing where I was like, I was afraid that I was capable of feeling that way and capable of being, of maybe falling apart.
I'm not, if I think about being anxious, it would make me anxious. I don't even like talking about anxiety as well. It's like, oh God, I don't want to be anxious today. But I do fear being anxious because it's the worst feeling in the world. And like, when you don't have it, and then if you think about it and you're like, oh, I haven't been anxious in a couple of days, that's really nice. And then it's like, when is it going to come back and bite me in the ass? So I try not to think about anxiety. And when it does creep up on you, you just sometimes I ride a day off. I'm just like, right, this is going to be an awful day and there's nothing I can do about it. But tomorrow is a new day and I won't feel as bad tomorrow.
Mm.
Sometimes you do just have to ride the day off and just start again tomorrow.
And has there been any situations work-wise that have you felt like you've had to maybe say no to because that wouldn't suit your anxiety? Or do you just say yes and deal with it?
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
If it's the right choice for you.
I say yes. And if I'm feeling anxious in the day, sometimes work kind of takes my mind off it because you're so busy and you have to, like, I can't be like unhappy in my job. Do you know what I mean? I have to go and I have to put on a face and be happy regardless of how I'm really feeling. And I think with work, I love my job so much, whatever I'm doing, that like it takes my mind off being anxious. And yeah. It's kind of nice. I feel like if I'm sitting there idle and I'm anxious, it makes it work worse as the day goes on.
And when things were particularly bad for you, anxiety wise, did you go and talk to someone or?
Yeah, I tried one therapist in Dublin and I was like, oh, that's definitely not for me. And then I decided to try another one over here and he was the most amazing person ever. And I felt like he completely helped my anxiety and therapy is not for everybody, but for me, I found him and he's about an hour away from me now in London where I live. But like, if I ever feel anxious, I know that I can go back and speak to him because he really did help. But when it was really, really bad, like it was really bad, I had to go on medication because I was just so anxious all day, every day. Like I would cry to my sister and I'd be like, it's just not going away. And like, I was just a mess and I really was. And so I went to speak to my doctor and I'd heard about beta blockers and I was like, please, can I go on these things for a while? So she gave me a 6-month prescription for them and it was the best thing I ever did. And I didn't want to go down that route. Nobody does.
Yeah.
God, I'm so happy I did.
So I know why you didn't want to. And the same reason I didn't want to is because you're worried that, does this mean I'm really bad or does this mean I'm not in control or I can't just snap out of it? But like, you probably were very much self-stigmatized as well.
Oh, 100%. And also you don't want to tell people, oh, well, I have to be medicated for that. Like, it's kind of, it's the same around people who have depression, which is a completely different monster, but like they never want to go on antidepressants. It's when you're anxious, you don't want to have to go on tablets for it. You want to be able to control it and do things yourself. But I think sometimes to just take a step back for me and to be on them and they mask the physical symptoms. So like when I was feeling like my hands were clenched and I was grinding my teeth, I had to get a gum shield as well, by the way, because I used to grind my teeth so bad. And if I couldn't sleep or the pain in my stomach, all that was gone with the tablets and I was able to have a normal working day. And then I was working it out with my therapist at the same time. So he was helping me, but those tablets were also helping me to not feel like a nervous wreck all day, every day.
Yeah, I think it's so important to like address those physical symptoms so that you can benefit then from the chats and the going for a walk and the yoga and the exercise. Because I found when I was really, really bad and I didn't sleep for about 4 months straight, I mean, I literally lay awake at night. And that's just like, in itself is like a form of torture. But
so lonely as well.
It was so bad. But like, I'd sit there and I'd try and like meditate and I'd obviously be like, oh, it's not working, you know, and then you just, everything gets worse. So I think I really want people to feel that if their anxiety is particularly bad or getting in the way of their life on a daily basis, it is an option that they can consider and they shouldn't feel shame about it, because you would go and get your leg fixed or seen to if you were, you know, it is the same thing. And it's just
one thing like about beta blockers. So like for me, they're fine. And if I ever had to go back on them, I would go back on them.
And you can take them ad hoc as well.
Yeah, you can. And a few of my friends have gone to the doctors with anxiety and saying that I've heard about these things called beta blockers, and the doctor told them to go on antidepressants. And I think that like you just got to be careful who you're talking to as well. Just get a few opinions.
The thing about antidepressants is they're called antidepressants, but they actually help anxiety. So I'm on an antidepressant, but it works the same way. They just, for some reason, they've never changed them to be anti-anxiety medication, but certain ones, the one at Prozac is what I'm on, and people are on ones like Lexapro and Cetirizine. I think they're, from the episode I did on medication, they would be more for people with anxiety. So it's just about, I think, getting informed and like knowing your options as well. But mostly,
that's exactly it. There is options out there. So if you're feeling like you can't control it yourself, there are so many options to help you.
And do you feel, I always wonder, you know, had I, back in 2014 is when things got really bad for me, and so much of the anxiety was what people would think about me, or how does this make me look, how will this affect my career, that I don't have it all together. And I think if we took away that fear, and like, you know, if you're at a dinner party and you said, look, I'm going to go home, I have a headache, you wouldn't have a problem. But it's hard to say, look, I'm going to go home, I'm feeling quite overwhelmed.
Yeah, overwhelmed is a good way of putting it. But yeah, like, you do have that thing, like, there have been things that I've pulled out of because I'm like, you know what, I just feel really anxious about it.
And do you feel comfortable saying that? You...
No, I wouldn't tell people I'm anxious, and that's why, because I feel like it's almost like a cop out. People would be like, "Oh God, what's that for an excuse?"
Yeah,
I just would
okay.
make up something different and say, "Oh, I can't go for whatever reason." But there are some things that, like, even now, I'll avoid going to certain events and things like that because I'm like, you know what, it's not going to make me feel great. It's already making me anxious thinking about having to go and having that extra thing on my plate. So I'm just not going to go, and I don't feel like I miss out on things because of it, but I definitely don't go to things sometimes because of it.
Yeah. Moving on to the more confidence thing, you're in a world that's very like aesthetic, and, you know, the modeling and the presenting and stuff always has something to do with that. So do you find yourself falling victim to social comparison?
Oh, 100%. But I think that you'll always compare yourself to other people, and you'll always see people that are getting jobs and you're like, God, I really wanted that job. But the best way for me to deal with that, I'm like, right, I didn't get that job because there's something better that I'm actually meant to be doing. And I'm kind of really at a good place in my career. I'm really happy with what I'm doing. I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything. And I try not to compare myself to other people. I mean, there's some, like, obviously I'd love to steal Holly Willoughby's career. That's a work in progress.
Yeah.
But like, I do feel like, I feel when I see people doing well, I actually just feel like, you know what, fair play to you. You work really hard and you really deserve that.
And that's a great way to be. And sometimes I have to, like, remind myself, it's easy to sort of feel like someone else's success kind of is taking from yours. So that there's not enough to go around. But I heard a quote about, like, one lit candle doesn't lose anything by lighting another candle.
Yeah.
And I just think, you know, but it is in our, it is human nature to be like, oh, does someone's success make me feel like, am I not doing well enough?
Yeah.
You know.
But the thing about it is as well, like, God, I don't think, as women especially, like, will we ever really be fully happy, like, with things like the way you look, with the, like, even with weight. Like, I look back on pictures and I'm like, oh my God, I looked fucking great there. But when I think back to how I felt when that picture was taken, I felt like so fat and overweight and just rank. And I think that that's because you do look at things like social media and other people and you do end up comparing yourself, and that's just it just happens.
And what do you do to pull yourself out of that?
I tell myself to get an absolute grip. I think, honestly, but after having a child, I genuinely think that, like, I'm actually happy with my body. I can't imagine feeling more confident in my own skin than I do now, because I have never ever had that feeling in my entire life where I just feel like, oh, my body looks okay at the moment. And I actually do feel like that. I feel strong. I feel like I've had a baby. And
look what your body has given you and been through. It's, like, it's amazing.
It's amazing. But, like, I do. I feel confident now. Maybe that just comes with age and it comes with being a mom and stuff like that. But I do feel quite confident now, which is, it's a nice feeling to have.
And has there been a time recently, maybe career-wise or personally, that you felt really outside your comfort zone? And how did you feel? What was that like?
Career-wise or personally? I kind of feel like that for most jobs before I go in and do them. I'm like, God, I feel so nervous. I'm going to mess this up. I don't want to mess this up. And I never go into something feeling like super confident, like, I'm going to smash this. I'm going to be absolutely brilliant. Because I think it's nice to have that kind of nerve, and it makes you perform better, I think.
Yeah.
Like, you'd always be nervous about doing a job that you're doing. And, like, I want to put my all into every single thing that I do. And even when I was filming my last set of documentaries, I was like, they're probably going to be awful because I was so tired and so heavily pregnant. And then I started worrying about that. But you always just have to do the best that you can do. But I think it's fine to be nervous about every job that you do.
And how do you handle, like, the fear of failure or the idea that something might not work out as well as you intended?
Ooh, God, I don't know. Nothing has been a massive flop yet. But I guess if something like that happens, or if, like, something turns on you in the media, and I've definitely had that before, you just, I kind of retreat back into myself. And I'm like, like, my family and friends make me feel confident, make my life, like, a really easy place to be, especially because of the industry I'm in. Like, I'm in the industry, but I wouldn't say I'm a part of the industry. I don't have very many friends in the industry. And if I do, they're not like talent on camera. They're usually people behind the camera, or like my director would be one of my really good pals. A producer is a really good pal. And like I have all these people in my life that have been in my life since I've either been 12, where my first group of friends are from. And then when I was 18, where all my 10 group of friends are from. And it's like, that's just my life. So the industry kind of hasn't really swallowed me up like that.
Mm. What are you most proud of about yourself? If you think back maybe 10 years, so I'm always getting people to think, you know, the antidote to social comparison is temporal comparison. And that's instead of saying, oh, look at me compared to that person, look at me where I am now versus where I want to go, or look at me where I am versus where I was. Like, so for me, it might seem like no big deal that I, you know, can come to London and like be okay, because there was a while my anxiety was so bad that I couldn't even go to the shop. Yeah. So, you know, and then I think about, you know, I look at someone else who's like maybe doing amazing. I'm like, we'll all kind of get there on our own. So is there any, if you were to look at yourself from that temporal comparison perspective, how do you feel? What have you learned? What are you proud of?
I think if I look back at myself when my anxiety was at its absolute worst, when I was coming out of a really toxic relationship, when I look at myself then, I do not recognize that person. Like, that was just, that whole time in my life was one of the worst times in my life. And I think that when I look at how I was back then and how like defeated and like deflated I felt, like to where I am now, I'm like at the happiest point in my life I've ever been now. And looking back then to how sad I was, and even like looking at pictures, I'm like, God, I just look so sad there. Mm-hmm. Because I really was sad. And I just feel kind of proud of where I am now.
You should do. Yeah. And how important is it to you to, you know, you're always going, like you say, you're so busy, but in order to feel confident, we need to actually stop and take stock and be like, appreciate the successes we're having along the way. So do you do that? Do you take time to be like, wow, I've achieved this, or I'm proud of this?
I feel proud of documentaries that I've done. I feel proud of different jobs that I'm doing. I'm currently up for a couple of jobs that I really hope come through, and I'd be really proud if I got those jobs. Mm-hmm. So I definitely appreciate the successes that I have, but it is kind of like go.
Yeah.
On to the next thing. And that's just, I kind of like my life being like that. Like, my sister would absolutely hate it, but like, I am always on the move, always busy. And especially now with Theodore, it's kind of like, I don't go out so much anymore. I wouldn't say I go out with friends as often as I used to, because for me, it's kind of work and family. Mm. And that's all I really have time for at the moment.
And before I let you go, so that you can go back to baby Theodore and your husband Spencer.
Because he hasn't slept.
Because he hasn't slept, he's going to kill me.
Yeah, I slept really well and Spencer didn't sleep at all.
What advice would you have for people who, first of all, are feeling like they're on the floor with anxiety right now? Where would you start?
Oh God, that feeling is just so awful. Firstly, I feel really sorry for them. But secondly, like, you've hit rock bottom and now you can start climbing all the way back up. And there is so many different ways. You just have to find your way to deal with anxiety. Like, mine is going to the gym. Mine was going to CBT, but that is, that's not for everybody. And there are a million and one things you can do, particularly from doing my documentary on anxiety. There's like, there's groups that meet up and help with social anxiety if you have that. There's like, there are endless things to do to get rid of your anxiety. And although it sounds horrible to think that like it's never going to go away, you can manage it to a point where it's not going to affect your life in a negative way.
Mm. And if someone is maybe beyond the anxiety and more, I think a big thing that people have is like fearlessness, and they might look at you and think, well, she has no fear at all in terms of like going for things and getting them. And I hate this idea that people feel like they need to wait till they feel no fear at all before they go and try something, you know, because, and I was described, when I did the Late Late Show, the segment was fearless women, and I was like, no, like, I feel fear a lot, like, but I can still have anxiety and I can still feel fear but still be successful in spite of it and still, like, yeah, you know, help other people or whatever. So what advice would you have for people who are needing a little kick up the arse, basically?
You just have to, you have to be ambitious. You have to go out there and get what you want, because if you manifest it in your mind, you can get it. If you think about something that you really, really want to do and you work towards that, you will eventually get it. And everybody feels like, oh God, like, everyone feels like they're lacking in confidence. Every single day I feel like I'm lacking in confidence in some way or another. And then as well, you are scared of everything. Every job I do, I'm like, oh, is it going to go well? And you do have that fear, but that fear is, you should use that as a good feeling, as in a feeling to push you to do even better.
Yeah. And in the confidence kit, I try to reframe it that people take these things that feel like mental blocks and turn them into building blocks.
Yeah.
So take it and get on top of it and then see where you'll go from there.
Yeah, there are ways to get through everything. And if you're feeling like you're lacking confidence, just like, get out there, go for a run. Like, things like that help me get my mind straight. Like, I hate running. I absolutely hate it. But I love it because I go running for half an hour and I just think about things. And like, if I'm having a rotten day and I go out and I go for a run for half an hour, like, it just makes, it puts everything back into perspective and you come back with a new kind of mind frame.
Mm-hmm. And if you were feeling really anxious now today, what would be, very practically, what would you do? Would you cancel plans? Would you chill out? Would you take a bath?
I tried to cancel plans. Because I had a few drinks last night, I know I'm going to be anxious today. So I did try and cancel plans, but I have to.
Thank you for still having me over. You're so good.
That's fine. But no, I try. I'm only going to get my hair done. But even that, I'm like, oh, I've just sit there for 2 hours in a place that I don't know, with people I don't know. And I'm like, oh, just go and get it done. So getting over that, and I booked a spin class. So I'll go and do a spin class. That will help me and get me through the rest of the day. And Theodore, I mean, he's the absolute best for getting rid of any kind of anxiety. You don't really have time to be anxious when Theodore's around.
Yeah. But you still, you know, the main thing is that you've had experienced bad anxiety, you've understood it, you've learned to manage it, and you still feel it from time to time, but you're owning it.
I am owning it. That is the truth of it.
I know. Vogue, thank you so much for having me in your house and for being on my podcast. I'm sorry for taking over, and the place is amazing, and
I hope you're enjoying your hot water.
It's really nice. I know, everyone knows I drink hot water. It's just like a comforting thing. You need to get on it.
No.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
The easiest way to access Owning It Real Time is to head to the link in the episode description or episode details, whatever you call them, show notes. You will find the link in there at the top. You can sign up right away for Owning It Real Time and access the full library of 10 situation-specific audio guides that will help you own your anxiety even more than you've ever done before.